Resolutions for True Christian Piety is our meditation for tonight. Balance of Mercy and Justice, verse 1, the psalmist testifies. Personal Holiness, verses 2 to 3. Integrity of Heart, verse 2. Purity of Action, verse 3. Public Piety, verses 4 to 8. Avoid the disobedient. Cut off the proud slanderer. Encourage the faithful. Part company with the deceitful. And part company with evildoers. The Christian life is to be lived to the highest satisfaction for God's honor and glory. Here, David delineates for us the godly life for our emulation, so that we too may order our lives, our families, and our business for divine approval. This first thought in verse 1, balance of mercy and justice. The psalmist David says, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. He begins with the resolve to let mercy and judgment or justice rule in his life, where there may be a balance. The word mercy is the Hebrew word hesed. It has the basic meaning of goodness or kindness. And it speaks of, if you were to make a study of this word in the Old Testament, it speaks of kindness towards men, kindness extended to the lowly, needy, and miserable. But it also speaks of God, of his kindness, loving kindness, in condescending to the needs of his people, his loving kindness in redemption from enemies and troubles. You read this very much in the Psalms. In preservation of life from death, it is by the mercy of God that we are not consumed, that God keeps us, that we still have our life. In quickening of spiritual life, it's by the mercy of God that God revives the spiritually weakened, and in redemption from sin, the Lord, by his mercy, makes a way for sin for us. And we know what our Lord had done when he, on the cross, bore our sins and shed his blood and to wash away our sins, and to 3 days later, after he died, to conquer sin and death, to rise from the dead. And we see here God's mercy is described in him keeping his promises, keeping his covenants with his people. And it also speaks of the kindness of God in this word as being abundant, great in extent, and everlasting. That is how we describe the kindness of God. That is how we describe the goodness of God. And we, his people, have experienced the goodness of God in our lives. When we come every Wednesday night, we come in thanksgiving, first of all, for what God had done for us, enabling us to come to his house despite the rain, despite the difficult weather for travel. The Lord has brought us safely to his house, and how we count our blessings for all his mercies toward us. And here this word speaks of how God is so great in extending his goodness, which we receive in our lives. And the psalmist tells us that this attribute of God's mercy, sometimes it is used together with other divine attributes. And this time, the psalmist tells us about the judgment of God, how the mercy of God comes together with his judgment, two aspects of his character. Right, we shall explain this. Basically, the word judgment speaks of the act of deciding a case between two opposing or two a situation, deciding the procedure, the process of presenting a decision of judgment, the execution of a judgment, speaks of the time of judgment. And this word here speaks of God, who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his justice. God is very fair, just, very just. And in the study of his word, in the study of his law, in the study of his judgments, well, we learn how to invite that mind of God in our own ways, in our ways, that we may invite the character of God in our lives. And so the judgment of God speaks of the a right way, a way in which we are to, in which God would act. Right? And that is wisdom, right? Divine wisdom that God gives to us. James, in James 3, 17 to 18, describe the wisdom of God. He says that the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, is gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the psalmist sought God and his wisdom to guide his heart and to direct his ways. How we need God to guide us into how we ought to interact in our day-to-day life. Jesus, in his encounter with a woman taken in adultery, John chapter 8, is a case in point for our study. This woman was caught committing adultery by the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were brought to Jesus. And according to the Mosaic law, the scribes and Pharisees asked to Jesus, should she be stoned because she was caught red-handed committing adultery? And our Lord did not answer when a judgment was pressed upon our Lord for this woman. Instead, he wrote on the ground. And when he was pressed for an answer, he gave a most gracious answer. He says, "They that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." What was the Lord doing as you think about the story? Well, he was giving an opportunity for the woman to repent. She's not sentenced by our Lord immediately, as advised by the scribes and the Pharisees, condemned without recourse. Indeed, our Lord is the judge of judges. He's gracious to her. How mercy and justice works itself in a right balance, right, when the Lord treated this woman. And truly, this woman was restored in the spirit of meekness by our Lord. The people who heard our Lord were made to realize their own sinfulness. And they, that our text in John chapter 8 tells us, they who heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Praise the Lord. David here speaks about that wisdom that God gives to us in directing our daily interactions, whether it is at home, whether it is at workplace, decisions to be taken, and how to make a decision that is pleasing in the sight of God, how to live that life of true Christian piety. The psalmist says in verse 2, as he speaks about how we need to live with personal holiness, integrity of heart, verse 2, purity of action, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when thou wilt come unto me, I will walk within my house in a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. He examines his own heart and reveals his own actions, whether they are conformed to God's holy laws. Where he has fallen short, he repents and makes right with God. He will not turn to mischief and evil. He checks himself because there is a holy resolve to walk with his Lord. And this must be our spiritual disposition, to want to have a sense of self-examination. Let's take time to examine ourselves before God in His Word, and where we are not right, we make right with God. And so we take time to study His Word, take time to understand His will, and take time to ask God to give us the strength to conform our will to His will. Verse 4 to 8, public piety. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Verse 4, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Why so justly? Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Why is that so? Why does he avoid the disobedient? Well, because the disobedient are disobedient to God. They would not the laws of God, they would not the things of God, the ways of God. And so he would not want to be a part of that company who disobey God and His ways and His will. For those who spurn the laws of God, who choose their own way, He will not follow. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You think that you are able to withstand it, you are able to hold on to it because you have that strength in your heart. But when you mixed with those who are disobedient to God, would not want to seek God, the ways of God, you'll find that you would be influenced by their ways. Just like Lot. Lot was in Sodom. He wanted to make a profit there, but it was a wicked place, full of immorality, and he suffered. The Bible tells us that his spirit was vexed. But who suffered most? His family suffered most. He may be able to resist certain temptations, but not his family. His wife capitulated, turned into a pillar of salt. And his daughters, the kind of morality that they uphold, they committed incest with him. The Lord tells us that we are to choose our company. Solomon says in Proverbs 1, verse 10 to 15, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our house with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. So here the psalmist is taking a stand for personal separation. The proud man he will not keep as friend. Verse 5. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. James says in James 4, verse 30, go now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, little time, then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. The psalmist says, I seek to live my life with God's judgment in perspective. I dare not boast of tomorrow. I do not know what will confront me tomorrow. I do make my plans, but I dare not, you know, count my eggs, as it were, or count my chickens, as it were, because I know that I'm living in in God's world. It's not up to me. Things can turn. So we have a perspective that we are living, that we would seek to live in the will of God. And verse 6 says, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. So it's important that we seek godly friends. Friends who would love the Lord, who do the things of God, who serve God and do the things of God. We take them as friend. We keep them as friend because we know that this will be treasure for us, because when you spend time with them, you see that they have good morals, and they would communicate goodness, not evil. So that's so important, to have peace of mind, is to have faithful friends, friends who are faithful to the Lord. And verse 7 and 8, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. You would make sure that there is uprightness in his house. If you are the head of your own house, as a head of a family, you want to bring up your family in the ways of God. And you would seek and you would pray, you would agonize in prayer that God would provide a straight way for you and your family and your children and your spouses and all that is within your family. In your workplace, you would seek the Lord to where within the jurisdiction, the jurisdiction that God would give to you, you seek to walk a righteous way. Walk a righteous path and receive the blessings of God. Resolutions for true Christian piety. Balance of mercy and justice. Personal holiness. Integrity of heart. Purity of action. Public piety. Avoid the disobedient. Cut off the proud slanderer. Encourage the faithful. Part company with the deceitful. Part company with evil doers. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for this psalm that delineates for us how we to live a life of righteousness by thy grace that is bestowed upon us. Lord, we are unworthy. We realize that we are as sheep that would go astray easily. But Lord, you have not left us without hope, without help, but you have provided for us spiritual means by which we may be helped. And we thank thee that thou hast provided for us thy word, that we can seek thee to find wisdom, wisdom that is pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated. Lord, we thank thee for all thy good laws that thou hast given to us for our safety. May thou help us to take time to meditate upon thy word, thy law, and Lord, help us to walk together with thee in the land of the living, among the faithful. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.